Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey on South Sharav Radio.
Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished. Whoa. When I bought the Aston Martin, y'all thought it was winning. Yeah. Flexing on these, I'm like Papa on the spinach. Double M, yeah, that's my team. Rose, the captain, I'm lieutenant.
Welcome to the bonus episode of the Av Podcast. This is the Super Bowl 52 reaction episode, where we catch our raw reactions after the game. We are not, I repeat, we are not analysts. We may curse a little bit during this episode. This is totally off the cuff. And I'm about a sip away from being tipsy. Hold on. Yeah, now I'm tipsy now. I'm good. Anyways, welcome back, Roger Callender, to the show. He was with us from the last episode, the Super Bowl 52 preview. What's going on, brother? How you feeling? Don't even answer that yet. just to let everybody know, Rodgers is a diehard New England Patriots fan. So now I'll answer the question. How you doing, brother? How's everything going? You good?
I'm okay, man. I'm surviving, bro. Things aren't so good in Patriot town right now, but you know what? It is what it is, man.
I'm impressed. You're showing a lot of maturity right now. I was expecting, you know, like glasses being broken in the background and plates being thrown against the wall and kicking your foot through the TV. I'm impressed, man. This is very good.
I'm not even going to lie, Calvin. With as many games as the Patriots win, they're bound to lose at some point in time.
Yeah, of course.
And this game was just like a lot of strange things happened in this game, man. Like, even right from the beginning, like, anyways, I guess we're going to talk about it, but there's a lot of things that I was disappointed with in regards to the coaching at the beginning, which is kind of puts me in a weird spot because, you know, I almost never have any complaints about how the Patriots are coached.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be a good friend right now. I'm going to allow you the next minute to 2 minutes, because this is going to be a short podcast, but I'm going to give you a minute to 2 minutes. Just to let you vent, brother. Just, you know, I get it, man. Like, when your favorite team loses in a championship situation and you're not happy about certain things that go down, even if it was a great game and they executed everything and they still lose, you know, there's a bit of bitterness, a bit of vile in your belly. So I'm going to allow you right now to just get it out. Whatever you want to say, just get it out. It's cleansing. This is what it's meant for.
You know what? As a Patriots fan, I don't even know where to start. But if I was going to start, the first thing I would say is, what the hell was up with the Patriots defense? They absolutely sucked. Oh my gosh, were they fucking terrible. I think Bill Belichick's choice of leaving Malcolm Butler on the bench the whole game, it was one of the biggest factors as to why they lost. Honestly, man, it seemed like they couldn't even stop anybody. They couldn't stop a cold. It was terrible.
I didn't understand that. Like, was he struggling? I didn't think he was struggling like that this year to be sitting on the bench like that.
Calvin, he hasn't had a good year, I could say that. But he's been good in stretches. And up to last game, he was a starter. So I have no clue what happened, what he said, what he did. He must have done something to piss him off, though, because, yo, this guy literally only played special teams the whole game. And, They chose Eric Rowe to fill in for him, and Eric Rowe just got killed. He got destroyed. Alshon Jeffrey basically bitch-slapped him in the first two quarters. And then they finally figured out, oh, maybe we should go and we should put Gilmore on Jeffrey in the third and fourth. And then Jeffrey didn't do anything. Like, he completely got shut down. So first things first, why would you sit Butler? And number two, why would you put Eric Rowe on their number one wide receiver instead of putting the cornerback that you spent $12 million a year for, and you put him on, who was it? He was on, he wasn't even on Aguilar. He was on the other guy. What's his name?
Torrey Smith.
Yeah, Smith. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. I really don't get it. And I'm sure that's going to be the talk of the town tomorrow, because they're going to be like, what the hell happened to Butler? It was crazy.
I mean, it's funny because I wrote down notes for each quarter. And one of the notes I wrote down was regarding Butler. I was like, that's just got to hurt. I'm like, I think my exact wording here was, man, he must have did the hyperventilating cry, You know what I cry when you used to get in trouble and you can't contain your breath?
My man was crying, guy. My man was crying from the beginning of the game when they were singing the national anthem.
Oh, and you know what? It ain't had nothing to do with Pink's voice. You know, it had nothing to do with that at all.
Absolutely not, man. Absolutely not. I don't know what he did to put himself in Belichick's doghouse, but you know what? I think that's one of the main factors why they lost this game.
Because even during one of the plays during the second quarter. The special teams, one of the kickoff returns. You know, at some point while he was running back, he went, like he still had that in his system.
Oh, man. Oh. It was unbelievable, man. And there was a lot of questionable calls in terms of play calls, you know, for the Pats. Like, well, number one, special teams. I don't know what happened to Gostkowski. Like that first kick, okay. In the, I think it was the first quarter, they snapped it. It got fumbled, and he ended up missing it. He hit the crossbar.
Hit the crossbar, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think it was in the third or fourth quarter, he just completely missed the kick.
Yeah.
So I don't get it, man. I don't know what's going on, but the whole team seemed a little out of sorts.
It's funny because one of my notes in the second quarter was when they missed that that field goal. I was like, man, that long snapper is so cut.
Absolutely. So cut. Oh, it was terrible, man. It was terrible.
I was going to say, you may as well just catch a Southwest flight back to Boston.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I mean, a lot of people are going to try and put this on Brady and say he doesn't have it anymore and blah, blah, blah.
No.
Brady was not the reason why they lost. The reason they lost is because their defense couldn't stop anybody. Especially not on third down. They had at least three different occasions where it was like 4th and 5 or 4th and 11 with the Eagles, and they could have stopped them, but they didn't. So I mean, I can't even. Brady had 505 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, I mean, yo, they need to retool that whole defense. The defense was terrible.
And you know what? And that's something we were discussing in the last podcast, because I was saying, like, if this is a team, and this is why we're seeing that going back to like the Jacksonville, where I was like, you know what? If they would have kept their foot on the gas, I think they would have won that game, because they I think they got spooked by the Patriots mystique. Just because I'm like, what Philly did, it was that. I think that was one of the points I was making. I was like, yo, they gotta do what Jacksonville did, but complete it, like just finish it off. If you're going for the gusto and you're going for everything and you're taking chances and you're super aggressive, just continue that all the way to the end of the game. You know what I mean? Like, don't take your foot off the gas.
Yep, and that's why I got to give it to Philly. They did it. They did exactly what you need to do in order to beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, they had ballsy plays, like that fourth down play in, I think it was the third quarter, I think it was, where they direct snapped it to Clement, who then passed it to Nick Foles, who was railing off the side.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Like, that's fantastic. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, their defense was good, but it was, I mean, I can't even say their defense was good. Their defense pretty much got shredded. They had one really good play. Like, both defenses pretty much got shredded.
Yeah, this is an offensive game, 100% about that.
It was an offensive game, absolutely. They had, like, over 1,000 yards between the two teams, which has never been done for a Super Bowl. So both defenses basically got shredded. You know, that strip sack at the end.
Beautiful.
You know, it was gorgeous. It is what it is. I mean, beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
And it is what it is. And you know what? It was kind of indicative of just how the Eagles have been all year. Like, it's funny because when I looked at that strip sack, it reminded me of when I watched them play against the Rams earlier this year. And that was kind of the same way how it ended. They made a couple of big defensive plays because that game was an offensive game too. Right. And the defense was, you know, they were catching licks. You know, but at some point, like that defensive line, they just started making certain plays. They came alive at the end. Like, they didn't start dominating, but they made, you know, I think they strip sacked Goff in that game too. So the same, it kind of reminded me of that. Like, every time I watched them play, they always made certain plays in certain moments. Like, they stepped up when they had to step up.
Oh, absolutely, man. Their defensive line, basically they played well compared to the rest of the defense. Like, their secondary was still a little shady.
Yeah.
But that defensive line, I mean, you know, they were able to get to, you know, and the funny thing is, I can't say they apply that much pressure to Brady, because Brady, they didn't take a sack up to that strip sack at the end.
Right.
But they did enough to contain him, and they ran the ball and they controlled the clock. So, you know, the Patriots couldn't stop the pass, they couldn't stop the run, and they couldn't stop any plays on third down. So you're not going to win a championship if that's how your team, your defensive is playing.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
the difference between, yeah, the difference between this year and last year is last year's defense was way better than this year's.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big difference. I mean, last year's defense was ranked within like the top three in terms of runs and their secondary. Mm-hmm. Like, they had a really good defense, and it was underrated. Not a lot of people talked about it, but they had a really good defense. This year, it's like no pass rushers, barely got any pressure on Foles. Foles basically picked them apart. Ajayi was able to run all over them. Blunt was able to run all over them. And they were the better team, man. They won. It's as simple as that.
Going back to when you're talking about the Eagles' secondary getting shredded, I had a note about that, too. My exact wording was, Eagles' secondary got exposed by Amendola and Hogan. Fuck you, Roger, for being right.
Yeah, man. I mean, yo, it is what it is. They did. But, you know what? It came down to who was going to make the bigger mistake, or who was going to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Pats, you know, they made a mistake. Brady fumbled it. He got sacked. He fumbled it. They recovered, and that was it, man. I mean, even after that, the Pats still had a chance, but... Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't feeling too good after that point. You know, it seemed like all the momentum just rushed out of the Pats and it went into Philly.
At that point. I said this on my Facebook page, and you know, when he got that strip sack, and they recovered the ball, my whole thing was like, man, just go for it. I was like, yo, just go for it, Philly. Like, I'm like, yo, just like a chick that's out of your league, just shoot your shot. Just go for
Absolutely.
It, man. Who cares?
That's what you gotta do, man. That's what you got to do, and that's what they did. They had a few fourth downs where it's like
the
game was on the line, and they completed it.
Yeah.
So props to them.
No, like, for real. I'm like, yo, shoot your shot, man. It's like a chick this out of the league. Just secure the date.
Exactly.
You got to do it, man. Like, honestly, like that. Like, and they played it perfectly. And I'll be honest, that last drive was very methodical, man. It reminded me a lot of. That last drive reminded me of something that Belichick and them would do. Like, they out-patriot the Patriots on that last drive.
They did.
Like, once...
100%.
Like, once Gronk got that touchdown, that last drive took almost the whole quarter. Like, they did it methodically. They didn't take no big plays. They just started chipping at it little by little by little.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Until they got to, like, the two-minute mark and they scored that touchdown with Ertz. But I was like, yo, like, this is... When they got to like the 20, I was like, yo, I'm looking at the time. I'm like, shit, there's only like 3 minutes left. I'm like, yo, this is beautiful what they're doing right now. Like, this is something you expected from Belichick and Brady.
Well, see, and that's the thing. Doug Peterson?
Yeah.
He's a fantastic coach.
He did a masterful job this game.
He did an amazing job. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of teams would take their foot off the accelerator, kind of let's see what happens. They would play it safe. But no, he kept on going for it. And that's how, yo, I have to give him props, man.
Yeah.
They played well. Like, he coached a really good game. And, I mean, Belichick, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what they were thinking, honestly. Defensive-wise, like, sitting Butler, I still don't get it, man. And I'm very interested in hearing what's going to come of that within the next couple of days.
Like, are you gonna cut him? What? That was weird. Like, it was weird.
I don't know,
man. That turned out. That was very weird.
You ride a guy all flipping year. Like, this guy was basically taking on number one receivers throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
Into the playoffs, up to the Jacksonville game, and then all of a sudden you sit him. Like, it doesn't even make any sense to me.
Yeah, and honestly, that's one of those things where. I don't know. Like, it's everything, you know. I guess with coach, you know, when it comes to coaching, like, you there's teachable moments in everything, I guess, right? And
yeah, absolutely.
But at some point, you're kind of like, man, unless this guy insulted your moms or he threw hands on you, I'm like, man, the championship game is kind of where you're gonna, you know, like that's where you're gonna pick that spot to do that. And again, this is reckless speculation because we don't know what happened. Maybe this is just like a gut decision he decided to go with. We don't know. So, you know, we're sitting there speculating that they got beef. But, like, you know, like if you're Butler, obviously, you know, we saw it, like clearly he didn't take that well. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. He obviously didn't take it well. And personally, I don't blame him. I don't know, man. There was, like I said, I'm not even going to cry about, you know, the few questionable calls in terms of a few of the touchdowns, like the Clement touchdown. The Ertz touchdown, I think, was legit. But the Clement touchdown, I don't know. But still, it is what it is, man. Every game, you have good calls and you have bad calls. Sometimes you get good ones and sometimes you get bad ones.
And
that's,
I think,
what sports is about,
and,
right?
And that's what and that's what's up. Because honestly, at the end of the day, Roger, like, the Pats have had so many plays go their way like that over the years that,
exactly.
You know, it's not even karma, but it's just – let's just to balance the energy of Earth. Like, at some point, it's got to just balance the other way. It's got to go just in fairness of Earth. Like, it's just of life. It's just got to go the other way sometimes. You know what I mean? And it finally broke the other direction. And honestly, I'm at this stage where it's like, okay, like, at what point, like, what's a catch anymore? Like, because I'm like, with the Clement catch, I'm like, to me, that wasn't even debatable. I'm like, what is a catch? Like, at this point, like, what do you have to do to catch the ball? And then with the Ertz thing, I'm like, I couldn't believe that was being reviewed. Like, this ruled this. I, like, that's the one thing. Like, nobody likes Goodell, but that's the one thing I agreed with him upon. Like, you got to change this rule. Like, just at some point, like, what's a catch? Like, geez. Like the cat. Like, honestly, the catch is becoming so technical. It's like figure skating. It's like, the Russian judge had a 9.4. Nope, they didn't like it. You know, you get the silver. Like, at some point, it's like, okay, like, is just me catching the ball with two hands and getting 2 feet down? Can that just be a catch and just call it the end of the day? Like, geez.
It's getting embarrassing at this point. It really is. Nobody knows what a catch is. And it seems like different refs have different versions of what they think a catch actually is. So it's whatever, man. It is what it is. That's not the reason why they lost anyways. It's all good. You know what I'm happy about? I'm happy that they're competitive. Mm-hmm. And for all the people that said that Brady's old and he can't do it anymore, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I think they have a good chance next year of making it back to the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure Belichick, what he's going to do is he's going to go back home. He's going to look at the game. And in this draft, he's going to draft some serious defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
Because I honestly feel if they had a better defense, I think they would have won.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm pretty sure they would have run. All they needed was a few stops. Their defense was terrible.
Well, I'm sure he's going to load up in the draft. He's going to cut Butler. And then after that, I mean, look, they get back Edelman next year. So,
exactly.
You know, it's like, it's the Patriots. Like, they're like the Spurs of the NBA. They're going to be fine. They're going to be right there.
Fine. It's football. It is what it is. I mean, to be honest with you, to have a team go to the Super Bowl twice in 2 years is like spectacular. I can't even complain about that. That's why I'm not really mad, because you know how difficult it is to win the Super Bowl back to back like that.
How could you be mad? They won 5 titles.
How can I possibly be mad? Exactly. You know, am I pissed that they didn't win? Yeah, I'm a little pissed, but Philadelphia earned it. They played better than they did, and they just, they basically just outplayed them. So it is what it is. Time to go back to the drawing board, figure it out. As long as Belichick and Brady are still together, then you know what? They're still going to be competitive. So I'm okay with that.
But you know what? One thing I got to say for sure, major props to Philly for winning this record. I'm actually really happy for winning this title, because, like
they've
I said,
they've never won one.
Well, they haven't won a Super Bowl. Like, the last championship they won was back in 1960 or something like that. It wasn't even the Super Bowl yet.
38 years.
Well, no, they never won. They never won, because I think the only title they won was in 1960 or something like that. But it wasn't even the Super Bowl. That it was just the NFL championship. So this is literally the first Super Bowl. But I was just gonna say that, honestly, look, man, Philly, they were the best team in the league this whole year. Like, just from, like,
they
I said were. Again, from top to bottom, on, you know, special teams, defense, offense, they were the best team in the league. They had the most swagger. They were the most exciting team. But they were like kind of like downplayed a little bit, because I don't think nobody really truly believed it throughout the whole year. Even though Carson Wentz was balling and everybody was doing their thing, they won like 9 straight during the year. But when you look at them play, like, especially when you sat and watched a couple of their big games, they always came through. They always found a way. So yep. I'm like, yo, this team is really, and like I said, the NFC was a beast this year. Like
absolutely.
Like this is a special team just because of the heavyweights that was in the NFC this year. Just to get through that alone, you got to give them props because
exactly.
They were monsters. They were monsters in the NFC this year, and you know they got through.
Listen, I had no doubt that within the next couple of years, the Philadelphia Eagles, they're going to win one, maybe two, maybe even three championships. Mm-hmm. I was just hoping it wasn't going to be this year.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, once Carson Wentz comes back, Nick Foles played well. He played really good.
Oh, he played great.
I'll give that to him. He played really, really good.
He played great.
But Carson Wentz, I feel like this guy is just on a different level.
No, he is. And that's a scary thing. Like, and it's funny because, I mean, I haven't watched it. I mean, we literally started doing this pod like right after the game. So we didn't watch no post-game show or anything like that. But, I mean, so I'm not hearing if there's any talks of, hey, maybe we should keep Foles. You know, no. maybe we should stay in the spot. It's like anybody that's saying that, like, man, like, get out of here. Shut up.
Exactly.
Because honestly, like, yeah, because as you said, like, Wentz is just that dope. Like, Wentz is just that sick. And, like, there's no controversy. You know what I mean? There's no QB controversy. No. There shouldn't be. Like I said, man, there really shouldn't be any QB controversy there. Like, Carson Wentz is that guy, you know, end of story.
Yep.
But like I said, it's got to be bittersweet. It's got to be such a bittersweet feeling to go in. Basically watch the Super Bowl from the sidelines, man. Like after everything that you did, man, it's gotta be a weird feeling. I know he's happy, but deep down it's gotta be like, man, I gotta get back again on this level just to be able to taste that, you know, to taste that feeling, to see what that feels like.
Well, and that's the thing, because I mean, you know, no matter how much I do like the Eagles, and I think they're a fantastic team, and I do think that they will be back in the playoffs. Back in the Super Bowl for the next couple of years, you never know. You never know what happens. Football is such a sport that you lose a few key players, and all of a sudden, you start losing games.
Yep.
So, you know, you never know. They might not be able to get back here next year or even the year after that. That's how football is. It's so, like, you know, it's hard, man. It's a hard sport.
It really is.
Look at teams like Denver, like the Denver Broncos. They won a championship. And the very next year, they had a few injuries, and they didn't make it, and they got knocked out in the playoffs.
Plus
they haven't been back since.
Plus no quarterback.
Yeah, plus no quarterback. That's right.
They're dying for a quarterback. Yeah, they're dying for a quarterback right now.
Exactly. It's tough, man. It's really, really tough. But props to them. Like I said, they played well. They're a great team. They were a great team all year. I mean, I've been watching them play. I've been at awe with Carson Wentz because he's just fantastic. And the team is just, you know, great defense, great offense. Good for them, man. They were the better team today.
Well, before I go, I just got a few main points I just wanted to touch real quick.
Sure.
Who would have thought LeGarrette Blount would be a back-to-back champion?
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's smart. He's a smart guy. He picks good teams.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Going from the Patriots to the Eagles? A smart move, man. It's definitely a smart move.
Very much so. And he contributed. It wasn't like he sat on the bench or anything. Like, he played well. You know.
Props to him, man.
Yeah, it was like a three-man quarterback unit, but, I mean, sorry, a three-man running back unit, but he made it work.
You know what? So like I said, I honestly wish that they would have kept Blount. I wish. Because I still think that they need that big running back.
Mm-hmm.
Burkhead's fantastic, but he's not a big running back. Yeah. I mean, he's still on the small side.
They got three small running backs, so I'm sure in the draft they're going to try to get somebody like a bruiser.
They need to
kind of balance it out a little bit.
They need to. They need somebody who's going to be able to run through the middle and just, like, you know, at the end of the game, just run out the clock, just punish defenses.
Mm-hmm.
That was what LeGarrette Blount was. And
on top of that, it gives Brady a break too, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't have to make him throw the ball all the time, and it kind of preserves him going forward.
You know Absolutely. What I mean?
I
agree.
I was going to say, my other point is, you think Jay Ajayi misses the Dolphins at all, or you think he wants to stick it out of Philly a little longer?
Yo, this guy must have been the happiest person in Philadelphia, honestly. Seriously, to go from the Dolphins to Philly, that must have been like a dream come true for him, honestly.
And you win a ring on top of everything else.
And you win a ring. Like, it doesn't get any better than that, man.
Nope.
It doesn't get any better than that. Like, honestly. Like, that trade, that mid-year trade, like, that was genius. Whoever pulled that off, props to them, man.
Yeah.
Props to them, because Ajayi, he's a beast, man. He's a great runner. He's a great runner. Fierce.
Oh yeah, and just before we close, I would say like the main points of this game was the coaching of Peterson. I thought, you know, again, just to reiterate on that, it was fantastic. He basically, you're not gonna find too many situations where you'll say this, but he outcoached Belichick. Can't deny it. He did a great job. Like, he took chances, and he, again, you have to take chances, and that's what he did. You know, and I think it's funny because one of the things I noticed too in my little bit of notes, the notes that I was taking, I was watching some of the trick plays that New England was trying in the second quarter, and I was like, wow, that's interesting. That kind of smells a little like desperation, don't you think? Just because I'm like, it's not something that the Patriots normally do that early in a game. So I was like, just the fact that they're doing that, I was like, that's it. That's, if I was the other team, that would give me a little bit of confidence.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially when they don't execute it, that double reverse and throwing the pass to Brady, I was like, wow, really? You know, like, and I mean, it almost worked, but still, you're just like, wow, you're trying that in the second quarter, dude? Okay. You know?
Yeah, that was a little surprising. It was a little surprising. Brady, passing the ball to Brady. Yeah. what can I possibly say about that one? Like,
And then,
this guy is honestly, man, watching this guy run is just painful.
Yeah, it's he's like a mummy.
Oh, like don't run, man. Just throw the ball. Just throw the ball. Spike into the ground. I don't care. This guy trying to run and catch the ball.
just throw the ball and wear Uggs. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then my other point I was gonna make is, honestly, at the end of the day, listen, man, whether you like or you dislike, you know, whether you love or you hate New England, every time they're in the Super Bowl, man, it's always a great game. Like, no matter what. Like, really, really and truly, every single Super Bowl that they've played, win or lose, has gone down to the wire. And it's always been exciting, and it's always been a great game. The only one that was probably questionable was the first time they played Philadelphia back in 2004. The Super Bowl 2004-2005, that was the one where Terrell Owens came back from the broken leg, and then he threw Donovan McNabb under the bus.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was that Super Bowl. But that one was probably the only one that the score was probably closer than the game kind of was. But but really and truly, every Super Bowl that they played, it's either been a classic, or it's been, or even when they lose, it's been a really good game. And this is no different.
You can't ask for anything better than that, man. No. You can't ask for anything better than that. There's nothing worse than sitting through a Super Bowl where it's just like a massacre. Like, you remember when Denver played, I think it was the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And against Peyton Manning, the first time they made it to the Super Bowl, and the Seahawks just destroyed them,
the game was over by halftime.
Oh, it was terrible. Terrible. By halftime, like, honestly, by third quarter, I was at a Super Bowl party. People were leaving. People were going. It was terrible. It was terrible. Yeah. They turned the TV and we started watching something else. Like, it was horrible.
Yeah, I remember. I remember. I went a little hard at the bar that night because I was very bitter that Seattle was winning.
Oh yeah, and they were just winning. They were massacring them, man. Like, it was terrible. It was terrible. But every time the New England, whenever the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, it ends up being a really good game. Yeah. So, listen. The fact that they were inside there, they've been inside there 8 times, can't even be mad at them, man. No. I can't even be mad at them.
One other thing, yo, please check on your man Brandon Cooks, because I don't know if he might be in hospital still. I don't know. Because one of the notes that I wrote down was like in the Chris Tucker voice, like, damn, like, yo, Brandon Cooks is dead.
he took a hard hit, man. Yo, yeah, it was helmet to helmet.
And you know what? That actually, I think that was him, like him not being in the game and stretching the defense. That was a big loss too. You can't underrate that too. That was huge.
I agree. It was a big loss, but still, like, they were still going up and down the field. You know, it did slow them down a little bit, probably. But once again, the offense wasn't the problem. The defense.
Yeah, exactly. You score 33 points in a losing cause, you can't blame it on the offense.
You can't. When your quarterback has over 500 yards and they literally only gave up one sack the whole game.
Yeah.
One sack against a defense that is known to be able to sack the quarterback.
Yeah, no question.
You can't, like, no turnovers except for the sack. I can't blame it on the offense. It's all the defense, man. All the defense.
Well, you know what? On that note, but actually, before we go, just a couple other things I want to address. Super Bowl performance. Justin Timberlake did a good job. But, you know, I didn't see Janet Jackson come on stage, so he still gets an F.
He gets a fail for me.
Fuck him. He gets an F for me. But you know what? I do give him props for the Prince, the little Prince tribute. That was cool. And having the whole city light up in purple with the Prince sign, that was dope. Yep. I can't lie. Yep. But again, I didn't see Janet Jackson, man. I need to see some sort of reconciliation there. I didn't see it. F. Sorry. Gotta do it.
I would have been okay with just a picture of Janet Jackson's helmet.
If you would have wore Janet Jackson on his T-shirt, I would have been. Maybe I would have given him like a C or something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's the little things, guys. It's the little things.
and then my last point: some of the Super Bowl commercials, they weren't bad. I can't lie. Some of them weren't bad. I think the best one was probably the Amazon, the Alexa commercial. That was pretty good. The Doritos one was all right. That Blackshear commercial, Blackshear.com. I don't know if you remember that, but when the brother was on stage and he had the blindfold and his mouth taped up and he took them both off, and I'm like, yo, Blackshear. I'm like, yo, what the hell is that? So the wife went to go and Google it. She went to go look at it, but I don't know the results of what that site is about yet. But that seemed interesting. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, great way to generate some buzz, man. Definitely. I know I went to the website too to go take a look at it.
Yeah, got my attention. Yeah. And then the last one, how could I forget the Eli and Beckham that commercial, the dirty dancing? That was hilarious, man.
That was funny.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I like Eli, man. He's a funny guy, you know. He doesn't get as much props as he should. He's actually a pretty funny guy.
No, he really is. He really is. My last note here, I was going to say, my last note really and truly, the Hall of Fame nominees, I mean, you can't really dispute any of those guys that made it, can you?
No. Like, I'm actually happy this year. I'm actually happy this year. Like, I feel that everybody who actually went in deserved to be in.
Of course. Of course.
So you can't be mad at any of those guys.
Man, and let me tell you, man, like, you know, we were talking about him earlier, but Terrell Owens, I thought it was, like, listen, at the end of the day, was he a jerk to his teammates? Was he like a complete dick at times? Of course. Like, no, nobody can deny that. But you also can't deny what he did on the football field and his talent.
Exactly.
Like for him to wait 3 years is you basically have to revamp the whole Hall of Fame process, because that's just ridiculous. Like, that guy at the end of the day, come on, man. Like, at worst, honestly, in my time watching football, he's probably... The only two receivers I would put ahead of him is Randy Moss, who got nominated with him this year as a Hall of Fame nominee, and Jerry Rice. That's it.
Yep.
Other than those two, I've never seen a better wide receiver than this guy. Like, come on, man. Like the media taking a grudge to that is, I mean, I know what happens. It happens in all sports, but it's also foolishness, because at the end of the day, come on, man. Terrell Owens, that guy wiped out his opponents for years. For years.
And he was a fierce. He was a fierce competitor, man. Yeah. He was a fierce competitor. Say what you want about his personality. Yeah, it kind of sucked. But he was a fierce competitor, and you knew when the game started, he was there to play. He was. I mean, unfortunately, I feel like the Hall of Fame has become more of a popularity contest than what it's supposed to be. Because you have to look at the personality sometimes. But, I mean, the statistics, and you have to look at everything. You have to look at the person's whole body of work. And the fact that they kept him out because they didn't like what happened, even though we, to be honest with you, we only really saw one side of it. I don't know what his side of it is. I don't even know if it was legitimate in regards to what his side of it was. But what I do know is he was one of the best wide receivers I have ever watched play the game.
100%.
Get the guy in the Hall of Fame, man. Get him his gold jacket.
Yeah, he deserves that.
He
deserves that. Along with Urlacher. Oh, you know what I was happy with, actually? Brian Dawkins getting in. I used to love that guy. I used to love that dude in Philly, man. He was awesome. I still own one of his jerseys, actually. I still got one of his football jerseys. I used to love that dude. That dude was crazy.
Everybody who was inside there deserved to be in there.
Urlacher, Ray Lewis, you can't argue with anybody on that list, man.
Not one person can I actually look at and say, I don't know. No, everybody deserved to be in there. So.
And they got it right. They finally got it right. They stepped out of their own way and got it right.
Absolutely. 100%.
It's about time. Well, anyways, Roger, listen, man, thank you for so much for coming on the podcast, man, and getting your raw reactions. Like I said, man, I'm impressed, man. Your maturity level is you know, it's it's A1, man. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Well, Calvin, after this conversation, I'm going to go to my bedroom and have a good cry.
and a drink.
And a drink, yeah. Probably a drink first, though.
Yeah. No question. And listen, folks, in the meantime, you can catch all of the South Shore Ave episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. You can listen to the episodes on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe to that and to check out the Foundation website. And to listen to all my podcast shows and my entire catalog, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAve.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAve.com. For Roger Callender and his hurt feelings, this is Cal C, and you just tuned in to the Av podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Roger, it's okay, man. It's all right.
You know what? I'll see you next year. Same time, same
yes,
place.
Yes, yes, yes. 100% for sure. To the next podcast, folks. We out. Peace.